Man, we're continuing our series called How to Increase Your Confidence. And we're looking at the book of Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bible or the YouVersion app, whatever, you can open up there. Last week, I challenged you just to take Romans 8 and read it over and over in your daily devotion, in your time. Just read it over and over. Look at different translations. They offer different insights. It's pretty exciting to see kind of how God is going to speak to you in a different translation. But the key focus we talked about last week is sometimes we just go through life not really ourselves, that we've been told certain things our entire lives, and we've started to place a mask on ourselves. And we start to become a clone of whatever is around us, and we're not what God calls us, that a unique masterpiece, that you're uniquely created just the way you are. There's nobody like you. And there's nobody that can do it the way you do. But oftentimes we hide behind the mask of life because somebody has told us that we should act or be different, or we're not who God created us to be, that original masterpiece. So we're gonna transition out of that. And because one thing I truly believe that in this book, but in general, if you've been following Jesus for 50 years, you've been following Jesus for a week, or maybe you're not even there yet, one of the biggest challenges of faith I've discovered is the idea of God as a father. And the challenge comes in the fact that not all of us have a good earthly father as an example. And so what we do is we see our earthly father and the example they set, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise, and we tie it so closely with God, our heavenly father, that we can't get over the hurdle and truly embrace God. And that's a natural thing for many of us when we understand these ideas, these characters, these things about God. Okay, so how do we get over that? And I want to talk today about some of the misconceptions we have about that relationship with our God the Father. Because one thing I know is true, that we're going to go through life, and the places we go, we're going to have misconceptions about people all the time. We're going to go into a public setting, we're going to see somebody, and they're dressed a certain way, or they're maybe of a different political party, or they act a certain way, and we all say, that's who they are, that's what they're about, I've got them pegged. We do it all the time. We don't like it happening to us, but we do it all the time to everybody, every single one of us, don't deny it. We do. Let me give you an example. I understand that when you came into this room, you had a misconception that I was a bodybuilder, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm sorry to bust that bubble. See, the problem is we have misconceptions about people. And if we have misconceptions about people, it's only natural that we have a misconception about God, about who he is. And we take that God the Father and place that understanding about our earthly father. So here's some misconceptions we have, I think, just a few of them that I've heard about God. The first one is that God is distant. He's there, but he's not really there, right? And he's kind of checked out. And because what happens was maybe our earthly father left when we were young. Maybe he was never around. Maybe he died when you were younger. Maybe he was just emotionally distant, you know? And I see it all the time in a father, son, father, daughter, that they're there, but emotionally they're not there, right? And so we think that, hey, if my earthly father did this, now, surely God the Father is going to be distant. He's out there, maybe somewhere, but he's really just not connected with me. He really shows no interest in me at all. The next misconception, there we go, about God is very demanding. He's like this drill sergeant up there, you know, shape up or ship out, and he's expecting us to make our bed a certain way or act a certain way, and if we don't, we're in trouble, because we had a very demanding earthly father who, if we didn't do something just right, just perfect, every single time, we were punished. And so we think God is the same way, that he's super demanding, and we're going to be punished if we don't do it just perfect. The next misconception, God is a deadbeat. We think that God isn't interested in us. God is checked out. He's interested in bigger things, more important things, that he's not there, right? So he got the world spinning. We showed up, but he decided he didn't show any interest in us. There's more important people or more important things to worry about. Another misconception is that God is dangerous. God is dangerous because you had a dad that was completely unpredictable. You had no idea what was going to set him off, and so you did whatever you could to please him. If I could do this, if I could just make sure, then he'll be happy with me. And so we treat God the same way. If I could just go to church every Sunday and check in, and he'll be happy with me. I'll make sure I do it right. Or if you've been following Jesus, make sure I do this devotional and I do it this way and I worship this way, then God will be happy with me. So even longtime followers of Jesus have this misconception about God. According to the U.S. Census Bureau in 2016, there were 74 million children in the United States. It's 23% of the population. 35% of those 74 million lived in a single-parent household. That's 26 million kids. Approximately 19 million of those live in a fatherless home. So approximately 19 million kids live in a fatherless home, and it comes in, society's calling it this, the father factor, and I think it plays a great role in society and societal issues. But here's the deal. If that is our reality, why would we not place that reality upon God? Why would that not guide and dictate our understanding or our misunderstanding about God, if this is where it's going, right? You think, I'm not going to give my life and my service to this ogre, to this guy who doesn't like me, who shows no interest in me, who's never engaged in me. Why would I do that? And so we take this idea, this societal issue of a father, and place it upon God and have this misconception. Last week, again, I challenged you in Romans 8 over and over and over, because in Romans 8, that's everything in there, just about every verse teaches us and shows us how we can live in confidence in our faith in God. And it's here we see this term that God is our Father. Okay? How are we going to get over this hurdle? How are we going to get over this misconception about God as our loving Father? So how do we increase our confidence? For my confidence to increase in our faith, we need to see God in a few ways. The first way we need to see him is as my guiding Father. We need to see him as a guiding Father. See, every person in this room, I don't care how old you are, has 100 decisions every single day. Should I wake up or hit the snooze button? It starts with a decision. I haven't had coffee yet. Starts with a decision. Should I go to work or not go to work? Should I turn in my homework assignment, not turn in the homework assignment? Should I stay with my spouse or leave my spouse? That's drastic, but it's a decision. We have hundreds of decisions every single day, and God wants to guide you and help you with those decisions. Look at this, Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It says led. God doesn't want to point you. See, God's not a scarecrow. God doesn't just have a weird, funky look on his face and pointing, go. We'd like that though, wouldn't we? Oh man, it'd be a lot easier. Kirby, go. Yes, sir. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? But that's not God. God wants to come alongside you. God says, I've been there. I've experienced that. I want to guide you. I want to walk with you through these thousands and hundreds of decisions, no matter how big, no matter how small. I want to guide you on these decisions, not just do it all for us. When my daughter was younger, and she would still hold my hand, it's a point of contention, she would still hold my hand. I remember the one time, life is just a party for her, okay? It truly is. And so she'd have these times where she'd walk, and she'd pull me, right? Or she'd walk like this and see how long I could hold on. And I'd be leaning off to the side. And one of this time, she's holding on to my finger, and she's pulling and pulling, and her hand slips, and she falls to the ground, and she didn't really get hurt. She's like, Dad, why'd you do that? Of course, I'm in trouble, right? That's how it works. So I said, Sweetheart, I didn't do anything. Your hand slipped, and you fell. Dad, do it again, and don't let go. I said, Sweetie, go ahead, try it again. She goes, No, you hold my hand. See the difference? See, the difference is, if she would, again, hold my hand or hold my finger, she could slip. She could let go. She could fall and get hurt. But she knows for a fact that if Dad would hold her hand, Dad would not let go of her. Dad would not let her fall, and to the best of his ability, not let her get hurt. Dad is going to guide her where she needs to go. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to guide you. God doesn't want to point you. God doesn't want to tell you, do every little thing. But God wants to come alongside of you and say, follow me. Come with me. Take my hand. I will hold on to you. Right? God wants to guide us. But oftentimes we think of God as this distant father. He's not a distant father. He doesn't want us just to hold his finger once a week. He wants to hold our hand every day. Every day he wants to guide you. The second way we need to see God is, God is my gentle father. Now, if I told, I would think that there's many of us in here who kind of are afraid of God, where we have this fear of God. I don't think we need to be afraid of God. But you would say, but doesn't the Bible say to fear God? Yes. But here's the deal. That type of fear is a reverence. It's an awe. It's not a, I'm afraid I'm going to be punished and I'm going to cower and hide in the closet because I'm afraid for my life fear. That's not the fear. The fear is like, you're pretty much awesome. Wow. That is the fear. Romans 8 verse 15 says it like this. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Abba is just an Aramaic term, which means father. So our relationship with God is this one of an adopted child. It's an intimacy. It's a connection that we have with God. You know, a baby's vocabulary is limited, right? And it's always that thing, dada, mama, right? It's limited, but it's that term of endearment. They know who they're talking to. They know that it gets a response, ooh, you know, and they love it. They love it, but it's limited. It's a simple affection. That's exactly what this is meaning here. It's a simple affection for that caretaker, that intimate relationship, that close relationship. God wants to care for us as a good parent cares for their child. Men, I want to speak to you for a second. Now, I understand the fact that this whole gentle idea might be hard for us to understand. Now bear with me. Because when I think of gentle, oftentimes I think of that's the mom. That's the grandma. That's the woman. I get it. And we have a hard time getting over the fact that God is gentle and compassionate. Because again, our earthly father was anything but gentle and compassionate. So we have a hard time understanding what that truly means, and we think that's just kind of, touchy-feely, and I don't like touchy-feely, I'm a man. I get it. But here's the deal, here's what I want you to understand. Remember when you were a little boy, and you were hanging out with dad, all you wanted to do was climb on him? Right, guys? You just wanted to horseplay, you just wanted to hang on him, right? You wanted to be wrapped up in his arms. One of the most fun things to do, and thankfully my son is too big for this now, but he would wrap himself like a vice grip to my leg, and we'd just be walking like this, right? But there's that connection, that intimacy, that security that he wanted. So when we talk about gentle, it's this idea of coming into your father's arms and just knowing you're protected, you're cared for, and you're safe. It's not just, pinch the cheeks. God is a gentle father. It's an intimate relationship. And you know what makes God happy? You do. Do you know that? Did you know you make God happy? You absolutely make God happy. You may, let me ask you, so this one's going to be filled with stories of my kids, and they're not going to like it, but I don't care. But you may ask, why do you tell stories about your kids? Because I love them. I think they're two of the coolest people on the face of the earth. I don't care what you ever tell me. They're two of the coolest kids on the face of the earth. And I love them. I want to tell stories about them. They make me happy. You make God happy. Do you know that? You say, I don't make God happy. You don't understand look what I'm doing. I don't make God happy. I blow it all the time. Let me remind you, you are God's masterpiece. God doesn't make junk. Understand that? God doesn't make junk. You are his masterpiece. Will you mess up? Absolutely. Did your kids mess up? Yep. My kid's going to mess up? Yep. Did I mess up? Never. But you know what I mean. Right? Hey now. Right? But here's the deal. You make God happy. You are a child of God. The Bible says you are an adopted into his family. Adoption plays just like a huge role in my life. My mom was adopted, and without that experience, I wouldn't be here. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Grandma and Grandpa. My dad met his full-blooded biological younger brother who was given up for adoption at birth. He met him a year ago. My brother and his wife adopted a beautiful little girl a few years ago. My best friend was adopted. Adoption holds a very close place in my heart. It truly does. But and one of the questions as I've experienced this and gone through it is the adoptees always ask, why did my parents or my mom choose to get rid of me? They ask that question. Let me flip that question, that table, though, because I've experienced the other side. And the people receiving the child would say, finally, you're home. That's their response. Grandma and Grandpa came from the World War II generation. He came home from war, and they started a family, or at least they tried to. And a lot of us don't understand this mindset, but there was a stigma that said, if a woman, you did not have a child, there is something wrong with you. And Grandma felt this. She was attacked by the neighbors. They were looked cross-eyed. What's wrong with you? And it was brutal. And then finally, my mom came into the home. And they're like, you're home. That's what God does to you. You're home. You are my child. Thank you. Thank you. He reaches out. And does that. He reaches out and grabs you. God is so happy with you. Look what this says in Zephaniah chapter 3. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Isn't that weird? God sings songs over you? Men, hear me out. That seems very touchy-feely. I get it. No, we don't. The only time we like to sing touchy-feely song is when we're courting our wife, and then we don't care about him anymore. But God sings over you. That's how important you are. He's writing songs about you. Our family has this really weird habit and thing we picked up from my wife's dad. These silly songs we sing. And they make absolutely no sense, but they start about something small and little, and it makes this big thing. We sing them to our kids. We sing them over our kids. They're just utterly nonsense. And since I have no shame whatsoever, I will make a fool of myself. Why? Because I love my kids. And I want them, they make me happy. And I want them to know that they're loved. And so we sing these silly songs. God loves you. God sings over you. If you grew up in the church and you're trying to get this right, every week you're coming, it's like, okay, God, are you good now? Are we good? Are you happy? But we haven't embraced this Abba concept, the fact that God actually likes us, God wants to embrace us, God wants to walk with us. You're missing out. You're not fully understanding God the Father. Because what happens when we do get it, when we get the fact that God is our Father, God wants a relationship with us, it changes everything. It changes it. It changes how we even think about prayer or even praying. And I've heard it over and over and over, and I actually just heard it a week and a half ago. Man, I go to bed, I'm praying, next thing I know I'm asleep. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, wait a minute, did I sign off? Did I say amen? Oh no! You know, and we start to freak out. And like, I fell asleep to God. I can't even pay attention. What's wrong with me? And the guilt and the shame take us over. But let me flip that for you. What better way to fall asleep than the arms of your loving father? Amen. When my kids were little, I loved holding them. And then we'd be chatting, we'd be talking. Next thing you know, their eyes start to roll back. Their head gets heavy. And they just fall asleep. I loved it when my kids would fall asleep in my arms. Not anymore, they're kind of heavy. But when they were young, I loved it. Because to me, there was something about them that they knew that they were safe in their dad's arms. That they were secure and they were confident and there was not a care, that dad wasn't going to let them down. Jesus is holding on to you like a good parent, like a good father. But we have this idea that he's just up in heaven and he's like the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the prayers of an unworthy one, right? I mean, we have this really bad picture of God. That's all you're going to get from today, I'm sorry. We have this misconception about God because our earthly father wasn't up to it. And I tell you, as a father, sometimes it burdens me down. But thankfully, I have a father that guides me. A few years ago, there was a study done with parents and kids, and they wanted to study the kids to check their IQ, or at least that's what they told the parents. And they took these parents and these kids, and they split them into two different groups. The parents over here with their own kids were generally, let's call them a little more anxious than others. Stressed, maybe, controlling even. They were watching their kids. And the study says, we're going to watch your kids. We're going to give them a stick, and we're going to give them several options that this stick can go into, right? You've seen those little toys. You get a block, you try and fit it into a hole, right? And the kids are all trying to do it, and the parents are on the side just chomping at their nails, freaking out. Please get the right one. Please get the right one. Go to Stanford. Be a doctor, right? And they're freaking out. Over here, you have the parents who say they're a little less anxious. Right? They're more relaxed. They're chill and whatever. And the kids are doing it and they're putting things in and the parents are like, hey, my kid's not eating the stick. I'm really happy right now. Right? And they're just cheering that kid on. Good job. Good job. Oh, try it. Oh, good job, Timmy. And what the study found was that 95% success rate of the kid adding the block to the right hole happened over here. That tells us something about parenting, but it also tells us something about our relationship with God. Oftentimes we view God as this, that God is sitting on his celestial couch, biting his nails at us. Please don't mess up. Don't do it this time. Don't do it. Don't. Oh, you're going to let me down again. And we view God as just anxiously awaiting us to screw up. What if we viewed God over here? That God is saying, oh, man, I'm so proud of you. Man, that's exactly how I created you. Good job. What if we viewed God this way? How do we do that when we have our perception of our earthly father who never said a kind word to us? How do we do that? It's a hard hurdle to get over, but I believe we can do it and we can live in confidence and faith that we have a God who loves us, and our faith is going to grow, and it's going to grow faster, and you're going to see God's role in your life increase, and you're going to live in confidence in who he is and what he does, and he delights in you, and you're going to walk in his ways. Now, I realize, I'm going to take a sidebar here. I realize that not everybody in here, probably many of you, didn't have a good relationship with your earthly father, that it was pretty miserable. I want to say to you as a father, I'm going to put the pastor aside, but I want to say to you as a father, and some of you have been a father and a grandfather longer than I have, but the sentiment's the same. I want to say to you as a father, I am sorry. You don't understand how much it hurts me to see or know of a child that was abused. I'm sorry. You don't deserve to go through what you went through. Or to go through what you're going through. I'm truly sorry. I am. And this might be the hardest part of faith for you, is to overcome the idea of God the Father because of your earthly father example. And I'm sorry. But hopefully this verse can be somewhat of an encouragement for you. It's found in the Psalms chapter 27. It says this, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close." See, as a father, as a human being, my love is finite. It's utterly limited. I love my kids to no end, but there's a limit. I don't know what that limit is, and I don't think it'll ever be tested, but there's a limit. But God, his love is infinite. He loves you as much as the person sitting next to you, whether you like that or not. He loves you as much as he loves the Muslim in Iraq. He loves you as much as he loves the person in Korea. He loves the person as much as he loves the person down the street from you. His love is infinite. It knows no bounds. It doesn't matter. He's happy about you. He loves you unconditionally and incredibly. That's astounding to me. The next way we need our confidence can increase, we need to see God as a generous father. Romans 8:17 says this, "And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering." Your translation might say co-heirs, that you're going to be co-heirs with Christ. It's like when I married my wife, she clearly married me for my money and she got my inheritance. So, I mean, it worked out for her, right? But the reality is, very scripturally speaking, when you call on God and you follow God, you are adopted into his family and you are co-heirs with Jesus. Everything God wants is going to give Jesus, God wants to give you. Everything he has is given to us. One Sunday morning during Sunday school, there's a couple of 7-year-old boys, brothers, and they're in this class and the teacher's taking their information, name, age, birthday, things like that, and she gathers this stuff and one boy writes down, 7 years old, birthday is April 8th. The other brother writes down, 7 years old, April 16th. And she's like, wait a minute, I don't understand. Your brothers, you're both seven, you're both born in April, how's that work? And she asks, oh, is one of you adopted? And the little boy goes, yeah, one of us is adopted, but we don't know which one. Every time we ask dad, he says, oh, I forget. What if we understood that's how God sees you? When we follow Jesus, a part of comes into our lives as we are given the promised Holy Spirit, comes into our life. And when God sees us, he sees everything that's right about Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus when he looks at us. When we follow him and surrender our lives to him, we become co-heirs with his son, Jesus. So just some of the blessings that we are co-heirs with is your guilt, all that condemnation you received, it's gone. You're delivered from the power of evil. Your power has no control over you. You'll never be abandoned. The Bible says he'll never leave you. He won't forsake you. He won't give you up. And you're going to have spiritual blessings. God is a generous, generous God. He's not creating us and guiding us and all these things just to say, yeah, that's good. Good luck. He's not doing that. He wants to give us his blessings. I read a story about a doctor named Dr. Ian Jackson. He was a world-renowned Scottish plastic surgeon. And he goes to Peru on a humanitarian trip, just taking care of basic problems like moles and melanoma on these children. And one of the directors of the orphanage brings this 2-year-old boy to him and says, fix him. And the Dr. Jackson says this about this 2-year-old, I've never seen such a deformed face. The eyes were totally together, the nose was gone, and there was just an empty cavity. The mouth was at the bottom of the chin. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm only here for 4 days, there's no way. I've never seen anyone like this 2-year-old. So him and his wife brought him back home. And over the course of the next couple of years, they started to do plastic surgery as much as the little boy could handle and start to repair the damage that was done and give him a new life. After 2 years, the visa was up And he had to go back to Peru, but the family fell so in love with him, they adopted this young man. And over the course of his lifetime, they started to have surgery after surgery and start to transform that young man's life, who now is, this boy, David, is approximately 45 years old and has had over 100 surgeries on his face, repairing the damage where his father gave everything to transform him and to give him a life when he was left for nothing. God the Father goes into this place, into this world of sin and garbage, and pulls you out of it and transforms you, and it takes you in and says, you are mine. I will give everything I can to have you with me. Everything. He pours out his son, Jesus, to give a life on the cross, to be buried and conquer death so you could have that relationship with him and live in confidence, not hang your head in shame, not walk around in lack of confidence and fear and everything else. God the Father is guiding you. He's gentle and he's generous. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do this week? How can we start to live in confidence? How, in order to do that, we need to admit first, I think, that we have some false misconceptions, misunderstandings, or beliefs about God. And we've placed our earthly father in the same place as God the Father. Just admit that. And we're going to get rid of the messages from the past. Those messages of, you're worthless, you're not good enough, who do you think you are? Get rid of those messages and understand that there is a God who loves you and accepts you. And thirdly, it's like every week, every day, every hour, fill your mind with the truths about God. Just fill it with the truths about God. It says this in John chapter 1. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you're going to commit your life to him, you are a child of God. Embrace that. Let him hold your hand and guide you. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I don't understand that you gave up your son to die for a bunch of people who wouldn't like you, who would betray you, who would treat you horribly. I would never do that to my child. But God, you love us all. You have called us all into your family. You just want us to be a part of that. God, we pray this morning that those of us have never done that, and we're hanging on to this image of our earthly father and placing that upon you and says, I can't get over this. There's no way God could be any of this because you don't understand what my father had done. God, I pray that you would just encounter their lives. That they didn't understand that you are a good father. You are a good, and you want our best. For those of us who have never called on you this morning, I pray you can do that right now. Say, Jesus, I don't know if I fully understand this. I got a lot of questions. I still got a lot of hurt. It won't end, I know that. But Jesus, come into my life and change me, transform me. Help me to follow you and embrace you and understand that you're generous and you're going to guide me. You love me. I give you my life. Help me to walk in your truth. God, as we go out from here, help us to set aside those negative things that we were told about who we are, that we would take off the mask of shame and the mask of guilt and accept the unbelievable truth that you love us. We're not a slave to the fear of what the world tells us. We're not a slave to the fear of anything. But we are a child of you. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you love us in ways that I don't even understand, in the ways that I take for granted. But you still love me. Father, we give you this week. We give you our families. We give you our jobs. We give you a little bit more of us today. Whatever that looks like. It's in your name. Amen. As you guys leave here, as y'all leave, there's some buckets at the end. You can put those connection cards in. If there's some way that God spoke to you, we'd love to hear that. Again, if you're a guest, the tithes and the offering is not your responsibility. We're just glad you're here. We're going to end this song, and I pray that you just take the time to engage and understand and focus on the fact that you're a child of God.